In our world, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a sense of skepticism when we read a story like we just read, when we think about the possibility of there being demons and angels. And perhaps we look at it, maybe we don't say it out loud, but in our hearts we think, well, that's just the naivete of the ancient world. That's the kind of world they believed in. Those stories are for the unaffected by the age of reason and science. Now, to be sure, many of the phenomena that pass for demon possession in past eras are currently explained by the advances in mental health. However, is our universe that easy to explain? Is it that easy to explain by the advances of science? Science cannot adequately explain evil. Nor can science adequately explain good. Science can simply observe. As Christians, the world and the universe are not compartmentalized, not separate from the spiritual realm. The universe is, to use a term by Orthodox writer Stephen Freeman, one-storied, not two-storied. That is, the world of God is not out there somewhere, but just as much part of this world as you and I are. Now, God, of course, transcends his creation, but is also very much a part of our everyday existence. Now, of course, when we think of the two-storied universe, we think of the first man in space. What was his name? Yuri Gagarin. What did Yuri Gagarin say? From Russia. I go to space, then be no God. Right? I didn't find God there, is what he said. But there's no place that is void of God. Psalm 139, where can I flee from your spirit? Nowhere. Now we see both good and evil, demons and the work of God, in our gospel reading. Interestingly, as Mark writes his gospel, this is his lead story. So Jesus is baptized. Then he goes into the wilderness to be tempted. Very brief couple verses on that. And then he calls his disciples to leave their nets. And then the lead story, the first thing that he does, the first action of ministry, is he goes to the synagogue and he casts a demon out of a man. Very interesting that Mark would lead with this kind of story. Luke leads with Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth. John leads with the turning of water into wine. And Matthew leads with the Sermon on the Mount. So you think about, why would Mark go in this direction? Mark wants to show the reader who's got authority. And remember, Jesus' primary teaching, in at least the Synoptic Gospels, is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And how do you know the kingdom of heaven is at hand? When Jesus confronts evil. How do you know the identity of Christ? How do you know he has authority? When Jesus confronts evil. Evil is immediately confronted when Jesus is on the scene. Whatever realm the evil one has is being slowly eliminated by the kingdom of heaven. What of this place, Capernaum? Why would someone in the synagogue be demon-possessed? Capernaum was a small village of about 1,000 people. It was full of small houses that often fell in on themselves. Remember the miracle that's coming up after this. The people removed the roof to let down the man who was paralyzed. One scholar says Capernaum was a step up from Nazareth, but many, many steps down from the cities of Sepphoris or Tiberias, which were nearby. It was not a sought-after spot, but a good place to get away from. Still, it was the home of Simon Peter. And it seems as though Jesus also stayed in Capernaum. For whatever reason, it was significant to the Lord. Constantine the Great would later build a huge synagogue in Capernaum as a reminder of this event. But that original synagogue is gone. But this unmanned name comes to the synagogue in Capernaum for healing. He is possessed, no doubt from tinkering around with the old-time religion of the Romans. And he, or should I say they, come to Jesus. Throughout Mark's gospel, you'll notice as you read it, people don't know what Jesus is doing, but demons do. They get it right every time. Creedally correct. They call him the Holy One of God. And Jesus is not moved or distracted by the demons. He simply does what is merciful. He casts them out, and the man is healed. So where do we go with this? We don't want to leave behind what we have said in the last few weeks about calling, about Christ calling us to something. Today we see calling in relation to evil and adversity. We see that calling transcends and confronts that which is evil. Transcends and confronts that which is evil. Jesus had and has the power to overcome the enemy. But there's something to look closely at. Like I said, the demons identify Christ. They remind him of who he is. But there is a sense in which they are trying to distract him by telling him who he is, by telling him what he already knows. Perhaps they are trying to lure him into a false sense of pride, like Satan did in the temptations. But Jesus would have none of it. He ignores them because he understands what he is about. And he understands his call. Ironically, Mark says that after this encounter, Jesus' fame spread throughout Galilee. That's an unfortunate word translated 20 years ago. Fame means absolutely nothing to us because everybody gets their 15 minutes, right? Or 5 minutes. A better way of translating this is honor. So Jesus got the honor that was due him. But when we are called by God, we have to have the insight to transcend evil and adversity, not to be focused on what those things are, but to keep our eyes on Christ. A few months ago, my father-in-law and I, we striped all the stripes in the parking lot here and over there. And I noticed that when I kept my feet, or when I kept my head down like this, I'd look back and there'd be all these wobbly lines. But if you look straight to the goal, to where you're going, you make a straight line. It actually works that way for making a straight line with your feet as well. If you keep your head down in the snow, it's going to be like this. But if you look to where you're going, it's going to be straight. And that's the idea. It's easy to see that which is off kilter. It's easy to see that which is evil. It's easy to be tempted by adversity or the evil one who wants to bring us in the wrong direction than it is to keep your eyes peeled on Christ, focused on the call. Calling transcends evil. Calling also confronts evil. But how does Jesus confront evil? How does he do it here? Does he say, all right, devil. Let's go outside. Let's take care of this once and for all. His words are brief. With all the authority of heaven and earth, he simply says the word, and the demons are gone. Eduard Schweitzer says, in Jesus' word, heaven breaks in and hell is destroyed. His word is deed. But in short, his word was for healing. It was for restoration. He saw not the evil as much as the man who needed the healing. Now we are called to confront the evil that is within and that is without. But we confront for the sake of healing and restoration. Our catechism spells it out well. What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. This is a mission of healing. Even evangelism itself is a call to reconcile others to God in Christ. Restoration, reconciliation, and healing. Now we seem to come to a point in our world when we love to find an enemy, political or otherwise. And you can't sell soap suds without an enemy. How often do you see, and sometimes I wonder if social media is not some kind of evil in itself, but how often do you see, all right, this person I don't know very well, oh, wow, I want to confront their evil. You are unfriended. I want to confront your evil. I'm going to comment. I know you are, but what am I? Right? I mean, that's what it amounts to. There's no depth of conversation. Sometimes I think this is where we've come. That we need to find something to confront and attack. Rather than seeing the purpose of confronting evil is restoration and healing and reconciliation with God in Christ. Martin Niemöller, who was himself imprisoned by the Nazis, said, it took me a long time to learn that God is not the enemy of my enemies. He is not even the enemy of his enemies. To confront evil is to have compassion on those that may be filled with the worst kinds of things, like this man in the synagogue. It is very tempting when we see great evil to see the only solution is eradication or elimination or humiliation. But our call is to bring people to reconcile with God and with others in Jesus Christ. Calling transcends, calling confronts that which is evil. Amen.